You'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we are going to be in verse 8 here in just a few moments. Before that, would you just pray with me one more time? Father God, I do now ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place together might be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. As we turn to your word, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. People are known for the way they communicate. Politicians are famous for avoiding direct questions and reframing everything to meet their own agenda. Teenagers are known for speaking in code. Entire sentences reduced to three or four letters, R-O-F-L, L-O-L, B-R-B, B-T-Dub, to name a few of the tamer ones. Some of you are like, what? It's okay. You don't need to know. Preachers are known for taking 30 minutes to say things others could say in 30 seconds. Yoda is known for reversing sentence order. Yogi Berra, known for his quotes that are less than genius but spoken with confidence. Like, always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours. Some of you will get it later. And you know, it's the same with our own little unique community here. Everyone in this place communicates a little differently. Some of us here are loud and exuberant, always positive, never at a loss for words. And you know who that is. Others are a little bit edgier, quick to find the irony in situations, sarcasm, their preferred form of communication, and you know who that is. Some are expressive, we never have to guess what you're thinking. Others a bit mysterious, you hold your cards closely. Some of you are meek, we lean in when you start to speak because we don't want to miss a word. And some of you, when you get going, you just keep on going. And before you know it, you've told your entire life story to someone that you just met. And we know who you are. Others are quite the opposite. You've come to this place for years, and your life story is still very much your own. Some of you love to tell a good story. Some of you like to share information, wanting us to know what you know. And as I say these things, those of you who are invested in this community, in your mind, you're saying, that's them, and that's them, and that's them. You know who's who. And I love the uniqueness and the quirks that make you, you, and that make us, us. It's who we are. And then there are those people in our midst and in our world who communicate by asking questions. Lots of questions. Good questions. They go beyond, how are you, I'm fine, thank you, to know, really, how are you? They ask about your story, your victories and your failures, your relationships, the joys and the pains. They ask about your business, whether you want them to know it or not. People who communicate by asking a lot of questions, we kind of love them because they make us feel known and seen and loved. And we're kind of scared of them. Keep a safe distance from them because they make us feel vulnerable and exposed. People who ask a lot of questions, most days we just really don't know what to do with them. And it's funny because Jesus asked a lot of questions. Questions make us nervous. They take us out of the driver's seat of a conversation. With questions, we can't control what comes our way, and without any preparation we have to respond, we might possibly find ourselves exposing more of our story than we want to expose. Questions take us beyond the surface, from how about them Seahawks, to something a little bit deeper in relationship, to who are you? What makes you tick? What keeps you up at night? We don't often ask many questions of people because we're afraid of seeming a little bit too intrusive, afraid of seeming nosy, even if we're very, very interested. We don't want to put them off. And then whenever we are asked questions, we don't always respond to them in a way that's very helpful, because we just kind of assume people aren't really all that interested in us. How are you? Good. Really? Good. How's the family? Oh, they're fine. Really? All 25 people that make up your family are fine. It's a miracle. How's work? Oh, well, you know, it's work. What does that even mean? We don't know how to answer questions. We're so uncomfortable with good questions. And the thing is, this Jesus guy that we follow, like it or not, really had a thing for questions. Have you ever noticed how often in the Gospels Jesus asked kind of awkward questions? This man who hadn't walked in his entire life, Jesus looks at him and says, "Do you want to be well?" Really, Jesus? You got anything better than that? He's lame. Of course he wants to be well. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Okay, that kind of hurts my feelings, Jesus. I don't like that question. In his very first miracle, before he turned the water into wine, his mom comes to him to tell him the problem. "Jesus, they're out of wine." And he says, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" Gosh, Jesus, couldn't you just have said you were kind of busy in the moment? You'd get to it later. When the disciples were arguing behind Jesus' back about who is his favorite, later that night, Jesus asked them, "Hey, guys, so what were you talking about on the road?" Cue the awkward silence. "Who do you say that I am? If you love those who love you, what's the big deal? Why do you worry about your clothes? Why are you still so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus loved good, pressing questions. Why? Because they get to the heart of things. Questions reveal motivations, expose inconsistencies, shine a light on opportunities for growth. Questions involve the audience and the teaching and the conversation. Questions engage people in the relationship. Jesus loved a good question. And so we're going to spend the fall hearing some of Jesus's most pressing questions. We can't see them all. There's over 100 in the Gospels. We won't do 100 weeks of this. We'll just take a few. And we're going to engage this conversation with Jesus. We're going to try our best to put ourselves in the shoes of those people who first heard these questions. And then we're going to consider what our answers to the questions might be. And so I invite you this morning to come to this place each week, the best you can, with open ears and an open heart, willing to honestly engage the questions, and so that we might all be changed by our Savior once again. You ready to get started? This morning, our first question in John 14, verses 8 through 14. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Here in John 14, we're near the end of Jesus' ministry. His disciples have now been with him for somewhere around 3 years. They've seen a lot in that time. They've seen his miracles. They've heard his sermons. They've watched him interact with his family, his friends, strangers alike. And here they are together. Jesus giving some of his very final words to his disciples. He's preparing his friends to carry on his work when he goes to be with his Father in heaven. He's just told them before that he is the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. And if they know him, they will know the Father. Philip speaks up out of the crowd and he says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And then that question from Jesus, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you don't know me? Still, you don't know the core of who I am, of where I've come from and where I'm going. You don't know the core of what makes my heart beat. You don't know, Philip, what I'm all about. All this time in my presence, all this time watching me, you even broke bread with me, and still, you don't even know who I am. All this time, and what is true is just that you know some things about me, but not that you really know me. And there's a difference. Ever thought you knew someone to find out you really didn't? There's the movie The Sixth Sense. If you haven't seen it, major spoiler alert here, but it's like 15 years old, so it's your fault and not mine. In the movie, Bruce Willis, he plays a counselor helping this little boy who sees dead people. He helps him along throughout the movie to overcome his issues. And at the very, very, very end of the movie, we find out that Bruce Willis's character has been dead the whole time. We didn't see that coming. We thought we knew who he was, and we had no clue. Several years back, I sat in a banquet room at my father's retirement party from years and years of working with federal probation. My dad and mom divorced whenever I was 6 years old, and so I knew my dad. I saw him every other weekend, talked on the phone all the time. He came to all my games. He was present as he could be, and I could have sworn that I knew him. And I sat in this banquet for his retirement, and I heard all of his colleagues who were with him day after day for all these years tell stories about my dad. And I began to realize, wow, my dad's a really incredible man. And he's done really incredible things. All this time, I thought that I knew him, but I didn't really know him. I hadn't really been with him. And I left that banquet with a place of joy and pride in who my dad was, and grief that all this time there was someone I thought I knew, and really I didn't know him at all. Or have you ever thought that someone knew you, only to find out that they really didn't? A supervisor forgets your name. A friend buys you something for your birthday that totally isn't your style. A relative accuses you of something that you would never, ever do. And you find yourself saying, they don't even know me. I bet Philip kind of thought he had Jesus figured out this day. And I bet Jesus kind of hoped that he was known too. Both of them to find out it wasn't so. I bet if you had asked Philip, hey, this Jesus guy, do you know him? He'd be the first to say, well, yeah. Like Rowan said about Pikachu, I've known him for a very long time. I spent the last 3 years with him. I've met his family. I got him to autograph my Isaiah scroll. We were even buddies in the bunk beds in Capernaum once. Me and Jesus, we go way back. And you know, Philip did have Jesus partly figured out, I'm sure. He was following him for some reason. He knew him as this guy who was sent by God in line with the prophets to do some cool things and just preach some inspiring words to turn people back to their God. He knew that. He knew about Jesus. But now Jesus is saying that those who have seen him have actually seen the Father. And in a moment, Philip's mind is blown. Whoa, 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 Jesus. We get that you've been sent from God, but now you're telling us that you are God. I don't know what to do with that. So Jesus, how about you show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied. And Jesus responds, have you really been with me all this time, and still you don't even know me? You know some things about me. But Philip, if you missed the memo that I am God, well, then it turns out you don't actually know me at all. Knowing about and knowing there's a difference. We don't hear Philip's response to Jesus' question in the text. I wonder if he lay awake in bed that night, wondering how he could be so close to this man and still so far away. I wonder if he began to think through his experiences with Jesus over the past 3 years, wondering how he could have observed so much and participated in so little. I wonder if he was sad that this man who knew everything about him, that he had really made so little effort to know much about him in return. I wonder if Philip that day began this pursuit in his life to know Jesus as best as he could from that moment on, to be sure he would never have to entertain this question again: have you really been with me all this time, and still you don't even know me? We don't know Philip's response, but what about our own this morning? If we're honest, many of us here in this place have hung around Jesus for quite a long time too. We can quote him. We can tell stories of things he did. We can talk about times in our lives when Jesus spoke to us. We can tell you what he's done in the lives of others. We've even seen movies where he was the main character. My gosh, if we're honest, we've even made an effort to spend an hour or so with him most every Sunday morning. Yes, we've been with him for a while now. But being with doesn't necessarily mean we know him, according to this question. We say we know him better now than we did then, but do we really just know more about him now than we did then? And what's the difference? It's really not all that complicated. We think about people in our lives that we'd say we know the very best in our life right now. Who would that be? And when you say that you really know this person, what does that mean? But that you feel like you know most everything about them. You know what they like to do on Friday nights. You know about the last thing that made them crack up laughing and that made them weep. You know about the topics that really get them going, that make them really mad or get them really passionate. You know who it is in the world that they would lay their life down for in an instant. And you know who makes them kind of crazy. You know all about their favorite pastimes. When you ask these people that you know how their day was, they only have to give you a one-word response for you to really know how their day was. This is what you say about the people that you know, that you really, really know. Jesus to Philip, Jesus to us, have you been with me all this time, and still you don't know me like that? Do we know Jesus like that? It's more than what would be on his Facebook profile if he had one. It's more than what we see of him at church once a week. That's not really knowing someone. It can't happen in that kind of space. There's a difference in knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus, that we might know him. And how can we grow in that? Once again, it's not too complicated, because Jesus is alive, and because at his heart of Jesus as God the Son is relationship, we get to know him in the same way we've gotten to know the people that we know. We know how to do relationships. The person that you know better than anyone else on this earth, who is that? And how did you get there with them? But by an active, committed investment in your growing relationship with that person over time, right? You didn't get to know someone intimately on accident, and it didn't happen overnight. It took some time and it took some effort, both of which you were willing to put in because that person was important to you. growing close to this person. It took work for sure, but it didn't feel like work because you valued them. You wanted to know them. You prioritized being close to them. We know relationships. And you've come to know these people gradually in all kinds of ways, but one of the main ways for sure is through a lot of shared conversation, talking and listening, being vulnerable with what's on your heart and sensitive to hearing what's on their hearts. Truth is, you're never going to really know someone who always just tells you the job is fine, the family's fine, life is fine, and you're okay with that. You just leave it there. Not a lot to work with, my friends. You're close with the person who sits with you at the dinner table, the TV and the phone turned off, and who says, "Now, tell me all about your day. What made you happy today? What was frustrating? What made you proud?" Now we're beginning to get somewhere with someone that we love. And we grow close to someone as we ask them these same honest questions in return. Does this reflect the way you talk to Jesus in your life? Do you frequently tell him the honest truth of what's on your heart? Good, bad, beautiful, and ugly alike. And after sharing what's real on your heart, do you stop often and ask him, "And now, my Jesus, tell me, what about your heart? What broke you today? Jesus, today, what made you jump for joy? What made you proud? I'm dying to hear. Jesus, what are your dreams for tomorrow?" Do we talk to Jesus like that? Shared, intimate conversations, vulnerably speaking, humbly listening, one day at a time, we will get to know our Jesus more and more, and not just know about him. We will get to know him. How can we grow in really knowing him? Shared conversation and then shared time. I have friends in Texas that I was so close to in Texas. They knew everything about me and I about them. And when I moved here, we swore to each other that whenever I moved away, we would stay as close as ever. We were going to make it happen. We believed in long-distance relationships. But you know what, you guys? That's been really, really hard to do apart from shared time. I still love these friends. Whenever we talk, it feels like no time has passed. But some of the intimacy has faded because we don't have shared time. After a few weeks of not talking and of really never seeing each other, it simply seems too overwhelming to sit on the phone and try to fill them in on details of places that they've never been and of people that they've never met. So I just give them this vague summary of what life is like in Washington. It's raining, sun's out. Church is good. Life is great. It's really hard to have an intimate, growing relationship, to really know someone without ever being with someone. Shared time is essential. Do you want to really know Jesus? Not just know about him. Do you want to really know Jesus? My friends, this is simple. Be with Jesus. And 1 hour a week in a room full of other people, it's a great start, but it's not going to get you to a place of really knowing him very quickly. I mean, think of all the people in here that you see for that same amount of time and that same space each month, and if you're honest, you don't even know half of their names. Being with Jesus. Shared time together. It's not just hanging out in the same place. It's not just breathing the same air. That doesn't lead us to knowing. Shared time together with someone you really know is always intentional and it's active. Those people that you're close to, you plan times to be together and you carve out space where you can enjoy each other's presence fully. You plan a date night, a girl's weekend, a day trip. You go hit some golf balls. Go sit in the fishing boat for a few hours. You put it on the calendar, and you don't let anything get in the way because that relationship is valuable to you. It's a priority. It matters. And you know in your heart that it's not going to grow without intentional time together. And this is no great surprise. It's the same way with Jesus because he's alive and he's for relationship. Do you want to really know him? Spend some time with him, intentional time, and do it often. When's the last time you took a day trip with Jesus or shared your morning coffee with him alone? When's the last time you invited Jesus to come to work with you, to be with you on your commute, to sit in the passenger seat as you drive back and forth? When's the last time you went fishing with Jesus? Because if you know anything about him, he kind of has this thing for fishing. Don't always leave him out. It hurts his feelings. Sunday mornings are important, you guys. So important. Please don't say that it's that and not this. It's both. Because this by itself isn't going to ever be enough to give you that shared time with Jesus that you're going to need to really know him. It's not enough for your spouse, not enough for your kids. It's not going to be enough for Jesus. And finally, those people that you really know, along with shared conversation and shared time, you have shared experiences. One of my best friends, Tara, and I, we became such good friends by serving God together. We met each other in Egypt, and our hearts were instantly bound in the shared mission we had of making God's love known there in that place. And trying to do this in a foreign country together, we shared all kinds of laughter and tears together. Every day, we'd find ourselves cracking up somehow about how lost and confused we were, meandering through the streets of Cairo. And then together we'd come and we'd pour out our hearts in desperate prayer for our neighbors. We did it together, and to this day we are the best friends in the world because shared experiences grow you to another like little else can do. Those people that you say you know better than anyone else in the world, I bet you've shared some significant experiences with them. Experiences of joy and grief alike. Perhaps you've raised a family together. Perhaps you've served in ministry with them. Perhaps you've traveled the globe with them. And so it is with Jesus. Remember how the Gospels end, Matthew specifically. Jesus is about to go to heaven, and he tells his people, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and I am with you always to the very end of the age." In other words, Jesus says, as you carry on my mission, as you share the experience with me of what I'm doing in this world, I will be with you every single step of the way. You will know me as you engage in my mission with me. You want to know Jesus? Do you want to really know Jesus? Not know about him. Do you want to know him? Then, my friends, I encourage you, don't just study about him and don't just talk about him, but get your hands dirty experiencing life with him. Bleed with him as you pour yourself out for another in love. See your knees become calloused as you bend down and wash feet, serving your friends and, yes, even your enemies alike. Preach the good news that God has come until your voice is completely gone. Do the hard work of forgiveness. Clothe the poor. Free the prisoner. Join Jesus in his work, and you will know him like you've never known him before. There's something about shared experiences that draw us to someone in a special way. Quit just learning about him from a distance. Engage his work. Share his life. You will know him. Have you really been with me all this time? And still, you do not know me. Well, perhaps not as intimately as I want to know you, Jesus. Oh, for grace to know you more. It's not going to happen overnight. And it's definitely not going to happen by accident. But that's okay, because most things that really matter don't. But through shared conversation, through some shared time, one shared experience at a time, day by day, my friends, we will know him more if we really value him, if that relationship is really a priority. We will do what it takes to know him more. The question from Jesus today: do you know me? Not do you know about me. Do you know me? Like, really know me? Do you want to? Proceed accordingly. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, that you know us, even when we don't know you, thank you. That you have grace for us, even when we think we've got you figured out, and we don't even know the first thing about who you are, thank you. That you are merciful when we desire to know you more, but return to life as usual so quickly and leave that desire on the shelf for another day, another season. Thank you. This morning we hear your call, your question to Philip and to us. Have you really been with me so long, and still you don't really know me? Search our hearts, O God. Help us know what's true. Do we know you, or do we know about you? And either way, stir in us this deep, unquenchable desire to know you more. And with that desire, this week, help us carve out space for shared conversation, shared time, and a shared experience just with you. And thank you for your promise that in so doing, we will know you because you desire to be known. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.